Welcome to Media in Minutes. This is your host, Angela Toole. This podcast features in-depth interviews with those who report on the world around us. They share everything from their favorite stories to what happened behind the lens and give us a glimpse into their world. From our studio here at Communications Redefined, this is Media in Minutes. Today, we are talking with Brittany Dry. She is the founder and editor-in-chief of Love, Inc., an equality-minded wedding publication targeting both hetero and LGBTQ couples with wedding planning tips and love stories. Named by Forbes as the woman leading the way to a more inclusive wedding industry, Dry has also been featured in the New York Times, the Washington Post, Refinery 29, Insider, Fox 11 Los Angeles, Good Morning Texas, and many more for her inclusive efforts, her wedding know-how, and her candid takes on the state of the wedding industry. Hello, Brittany. I'm looking forward to talking with you today.
Thank you so much for having me on, Angela. I appreciate it.
Yes, I'm excited. You know, I noticed in your bio that you went to school for journalism and interior design. What made you go with journalism and how did you end up focused on weddings?
Yes. So I actually started my major in interior design thinking I wanted to be an interior designer.
Okay.
And then I realized how much math is involved. I was like,
I didn't think about that.
So much math and hard stop, not into it. But I do appreciate like decor and design. And I've always been a good writer. So I was like, I will write about interior design. Yeah. Very niche. But so I added journalism, and that combo was perfect for what I wanted to do. So I worked at, you know, kind of home and garden magazines just coming out of college. My first job post-college was at Elle Decor magazine. And then I kind of, this was like circa 2007. So this was when all the like website blogs and blogging was like booming.
Right.
And I kind of saw the writing on the wall of print versus digital, and an opportunity came up for me to move to a website that was more like lifestyle.
Okay.
So I switched to, I became assistant editor of called Cafe Mom, which is, I was not a mom by any means, but I, I helped manage their kind of lifestyle channels like entertainment, beauty and grooming, fashion. And that kind of opened me up to just general lifestyle writing and editing. And I was also freelance writing. So I started getting wedding blogs as clients for freelance writing. And that's kind of how I ventured into wedding specifically. And I saw this huge void in the wedding industry of the need for inclusivity. And, you know, all the media was either talking to a bride and groom or it was exclusively for LGBTQ plus couples. And so I decided to start Love, Inc. That was kind of the basis of it, to have a truly inclusive wedding planning resource that appeals to all types of orientations and identities, wedding planning with an inclusive lens, if you will. And I started that in 2013 and have been, you know, kind of going strong ever since.
Wow. And Forbes has said that you are the woman leading the way to a more inclusive wedding industry, which as you described is, and that's quite a compliment.
I was, when I read that, I like did the interview for the article with she, when I actually read that, I was like, oh my goodness, that's a huge title to live up to. And I mean, I do want to say, you know, there's definitely been like trailblazers in this space before me, specifically with like wedding planners who were doing same-sex weddings before it was recognized anywhere and who really marketed themselves and carved out that specific niche in the industry. So, you know, I do my best and try to spotlight, you know, inclusivity and educate wedding pros on inclusivity. So I just try to do my part and, you know, of course, tell amazing love stories along the way.
Yes. And you've kind of mentioned this a little bit, obviously, as you're describing it, but what do you really feel sets Love, Inc. apart from other wedding publications?
Yeah, it's just, we take the time to ensure all vendors are what I've dubbed equality minded. So we do feature hetero weddings, but I confirm with every single vendor featured that they celebrate LGBTQ plus rights, that they want to work with LGBTQ plus couples for their wedding day. And taking that extra step just makes a big difference, because anything that's featured on our site any couple can draw inspiration from, or they can reach out to that vendor and know that they will be accepted, because it's still very much an issue that wedding pros will refuse service to an LGBTQ plus couple. It happens on the regular all across our country, sadly. And they know, you know, my readers know that they come to Love Inc. Mag. They know, okay, if I see a florist and I really love their work and they're in my town, I can reach out to them and know that they are equality minded. So, you know, we're really the only ones who have done that extra step. Everyone else is kind of like, you know, if they do feel that way, it's more of a reactive versus proactive approach.
Okay.
And so that's, you know, I think one of the biggest things, and that we are coming at it with an inclusive lens. You know, we're not, if we talk about dresses or suits, we're not attaching gender to it. We know the nuances that go into wedding planning as an LGBTQ plus couple and have that at top of mind when we are creating content. Yes, our content is for everybody, but it is kind of been programmed to make sure that, you know, it's truly for everybody.
For everybody. Yes. Right, right. 10 years ago when you started it, did you think we'd be farther along now?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I was hoping I would be a moot point. You know, it would be like, oh, I'm just a regular like wedding publication. We were on such a great trajectory 10 years ago, I feel. And I feel like we've taken 2 steps forward and 10 steps back lately in the current climate. But it's still very much a need, sadly. And yeah, I mean, I was definitely hoping I'd be kind of, you know, not out of a job, but just I'm a normal wedding publication and there's nothing special about me, but I'm just produce great content. But the need is still very much there.
Yeah. What types of stories do you like to focus on? How do you choose them?
So another kind of difference about us is that we feature all types of styles. So we'll feature a very traditional wedding in a church, you know, at a country club, what have you. And then we feature very trendy, cool weddings, hip weddings, destination, what we do, you know, the gamut of styles. But what I like to focus on is the love story of the couple, because I think everyone has a great love story. Photography, of course, like matters. It's got to be like, you know, beautiful photography. Yeah. But yeah, I just love, you know, no matter the style, I just like love telling the love story. And when weddings really represent the couple and tells their love story throughout the details, that's my favorite.
Yeah. I saw speaking of trends, one of Love Inc.'s recent stories about how specialty acts for weddings are on the rise. I definitely want to hear more about that.
Yeah. So this was a little leftover from COVID, I like to say.
Okay.
So in COVID, and when we were having smaller gatherings, if you were hosting a wedding, you didn't necessarily want a packed dance floor, right? Mm-hmm. Like sweaty people, you know, on top of each other. So people started, and specialty acts was kind of on the rise anyways, but people started incorporating specialty acts. So these can be, you know, aerialists hanging from the ceiling or like magicians, not like the cheesy kind, like cool, the cool kind of magicians,
right.
Greeters when you come up, you know, costumed greeters. There's so many different ways to incorporate this trend. But couples started doing that to kind of just add this level of entertainment to the wedding reception that they couldn't, you know, to kind of like, you know, instead of dancing, they were having this. And people love it and it's fun and just kind of like adds this wow factor. So it's definitely stuck around post COVID and it's, you know, it's definitely more, I would say luxury weddings tend to, you know, more higher budget weddings tend to do this just because it is like an extra cost that isn't in, you know, the traditional wedding budget.
Right.
But it's definitely a wow factor. It's very cool. It makes for like some fun Instagram photos and TikTok videos. Yeah.
Right. What are some of the other current trends you are seeing in weddings?
So one thing that I kind of love is that people are really customizing their processionals. So whether it's, you know, adding tiles to your outdoor aisle or making it kind of like a serpentine shape. I've seen instead of like, you know, flower children, I've seen people do like having their besties, like these are my Sauve Blanc girls. And they're like, instead of flower petals, they're tossing out like little mini bottles of wine.
Yes, I was seeing that recently. You're handing out beers.
Yes. And it's just like people are having fun with it. It's less stuffy because the processional is a very traditional aspect of weddings. So they're really kind of adding some fun if it fits you as a couple. You know, don't do it just because you saw it on TikTok or whatever, but it's fun. And it's just another, you know, touch point to put your personality on your wedding. So I love that. And then I'm also seeing, you know, bright colors are definitely, we're shifting from those softer romantic palettes to more brighter, bolder hues. Welcome parties are becoming a whole entity of themselves, like almost like mini weddings.
Really?
People are spending, hefty budgets on welcome parties now. And I think it's just, it attests to, you know, it's been so long since we've had gatherings that they're really going big with theirs.
Is that like the day before?
Yes. So instead of like a rehearsal dinner with your immediate family and wedding party, these are like welcome parties kind of kicking off the wedding weekend, if you will. And it has all, you know, it welcomes all the guests. We're seeing what else? So ceiling designs. So instead of like tabletop, just because if you think you're sitting at a table, you're eating, it's a little difficult to talk if you have like florals in front of you. And then like the petals fall off and they fall on your food. So now couples are kind of, instead of tabletop florals, they're bringing that decor up and they're doing floral installations, really customized draping, that sort of thing from like the ceiling. And so next wedding you go to, look up and see.
Okay.
There's one thing that is really interesting to me is more couples are doing private ceremonies, private vow exchange before the ceremony. So they are doing this either just them and their partner, or if it's like a private ceremony, they'll do it just them and their immediate family and then have the big reception. This is great for couples who are a little, you know, shy. They don't like the spotlight. They get really nervous at the thought of, I mean, essentially you're doing public speaking when you're saying your vows. So it's of course gonna, you know, public speaking, isn't that like the number one like fear of people?
Yes.
Before death even. So it's, you know, it's very nerve wracking. And so this is a really great option if you don't want to have to do that public speaking. You can do that private ceremony or private vow exchange with your partner beforehand and then just have the party with friends afterwards.
Yeah, that's so cool. So if you could personally plan your dream wedding, whether this is your first or a do-over, what would you do?
Oh my gosh. I wish I could do like 20 different types.
Combine them all.
One thing that I really love is the idea of just like an al fresco dinner party in the Tuscan countryside at like
Bella, where that it's like fabulous
minimal decor, nothing crazy, but just like really having this gorgeous, just organic setting and just good food, good conversation, good wine, good friends. Just having a great night like that, I think is like, sounds amazing to me. And I wish I could do that.
Yes, that does sound amazing. No better place in Italy.
I know.
What advice do you have for PR professionals who have story ideas for loving?
I mean, you know, you being, you know, former journalist yourself, you get this. You get like so many pitches in your email inbox.
Yeah.
And what really stands out, I would say like 90% of those are just blanket, like copy paste press releases. They're sending to the same 100 publishers.
Every wedding journalist out there.
So when you can customize it and just really look at my website and see the type of content we post and get to know the brand, those are the pitches that stand out. And you're tailoring that pitch to the brand itself. And I mean, I can probably speak, I think I feel confident in saying this on behalf of all journalists. That's that's what we like to see. You know, of course I get like, you know, it's harder to do that, but, for those titles that you really want to see a client on, that is such key, is to get to know the content, get to know the editor on a personal level, because those are the pitches that are way more successful. You know, of course, like I try and read every press release, but it's impossible. And it's really impossible to like respond to every single one of them. And
yeah,
what gets me is like when they keep following up, I'm like, you didn't make the time to look at my website. So you're expecting
if you
me
didn't,
to.
If you didn't mention inclusivity at all.
Yeah.
or how what you're pitching, you know, has to do with that too. Then that's.
Some of it is like such a reach and they're not even like wedding related. But they'll follow up 15 times and I'm like, oh my gosh. The constant struggle between, you know, PR and editors. It's like some are amazing and we couldn't do our job without them. And then you have others who just, you know.
Yes. I feel my rule of thumb is one follow up and that's it. And if some have said, you know, I do not like follow ups, I have a separate, a note that like they do not like follow ups. So I can't imagine following up more than once. And you think you get the hint after a little bit.
If it's a great fit and it's, you know, I don't mind a follow up. It's just the when you can't look at my website first and then you expect a response, that's what kind of gets me.
Definitely. Something you just mentioned a little bit earlier. Is photography. And obviously for weddings, especially, it's key. You know, do you have advice for anyone taking photos that they love Inc. to feature?
Yeah. You know, kind of take a look at what we've featured in the past and on our Instagram. We love emotional shots. I would say, you know, we like, of course, like the decor and detail shots are really important. But that kind of goes with, you know, any wedding title that you're submitting to. But we do require editorial exclusivity, so it can't have been featured on another publication. And we need high-res images, of course. That's, for some reason, that's a hard one for people to grasp. And we need, you know, the vendor list and like the full vendor list so that we can, you know, credit accordingly and or confirm equality mindedness. But yeah, I mean, we, you know, because we feature so many different styles that we feature all types of photography styles. So definitely don't be shy. Just, you know, we have like a how to submit link on our site. So I always encourage people to check that out first to make sure that they're ticking all the boxes before hitting that submit button.
Yeah. Do you ever go out and cover weddings yourselves or is it all from submissions?
Yeah, it's all submissions. Photographers mostly. We have a lot of couples who just like have followed us through their wedding planning process. And now they're like, oh, I want to be featured now. Yeah. So between the photographers and couples, occasionally a planner will submit. But yeah, I wish I could go to all the weddings.
I know. That would be right?
Really fun job.
Yes. So what do you think is something more couples should focus on for their weddings that many do not, or something that shouldn't be as much of a focus?
That is a great question. I think couples, and this sounds sacrilegious coming from a wedding editor, but they should focus less on trends. Because trends come and go, what really matters is that you are creating, you know, trends are there for like ideas and inspiration and they're feeding, you know, it's just like any other industry trend. But what's important, you know, you want to look back on your day and just think that was so us.
Yeah.
Regardless of the trends that were going on, like that was our love story put in the details. And so I really encourage couples to just kind of, you know, look at the trends, like find ideas, look at all the wedding websites and all the Pinterest, but definitely don't lose sight of who you are as individuals and as a couple. Don't get caught up in it. Because that is what truly makes, like when guests walk away and say that was so them, that's what you want. That's the reaction that you want. Not, you know, wow, look at that costume greeter, like no one's, you know, like it's cool and it makes for a wow moment, but like no one's going to, you're not going to look back on your wedding day in 30 years and just that's going to be the thought.
Yes, that is such great advice. I love that. And you are also a podcaster, the host of Love Inc.'s podcast, Inclusively Yours. What have been some of your favorite episodes?
Oh my gosh, we've had so many great episodes. One was with Her name's Leah Weinberg. She was a former wedding planner. She authored a book, and she really kind of like tackled the emotional side of wedding planning, which I don't think is talked about enough.
No,
and how like your emotional health with yourself, with your partner, that sort of thing. That conversation was so great, because I haven't really seen that talked about in wedding media before. Yeah. So I really, really liked that one. I'm trying to think what else.
We'll definitely link to that in our show notes too, so that everyone listening can listen to that if they're interested.
Yeah, it was a good one, just because like I said, it's so easy to get lost in all the things, you know,
and
budget, and though we do have some like great episodes on budget and finding, you know, venues within your budget and all that. But it's so easy to get caught up in all those like nuances of wedding planning and stressed out. And so, really taking the time to check in with yourself, to check in with your partner. And that's the marriage part, you know?
Right. And then you don't have, maybe you don't have that day happen where it's just a blur. You're done.
Right.
If you've taken a little bit more emotional care of yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
So what do you hope the future holds for Love Inc.?
So we just hit retail shelves with our last issue, which that was like
great.
A career dream of mine. Yes. We got picked up by like a huge magazine distributor, and we are in, you know, 40 different retailers across the US and Canada.
That is great. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. So that was kind of like the big one.
Right. Yes. Like, where else could we do?
Go. What else now? But I think just at this point, just growing it, because we are, I mean, the day-to-day is still just me. So wow. I would love to grow it, get like a full-on like sales team and a full-on editorial department. And, you know, we're kind of, I have, you know, a lot of freelancers who work. Sure. Who I, you know, contract out to, but I would love to get to the point where just like, we're like a full-time team working together instead of these, like, I mean, it works. They're amazing. I love them and I couldn't do my job without them, but it would be nice to like have a camaraderie of like an actual office feeling, even if we are all remote, this kind of team feeling versus this piecemeal situation. So I think that would be kind of like my next goal. And really like help us take it to that next step.
Yes. And you know how you mentioned how everything was going digitally, and that was where you went a little bit earlier in your career. Were you surprised then back to print? I mean, obviously you're digital as well, but was that something you were not expecting, you know, initially?
No. Yeah. So we started with a blog, and then we were putting out digital issues, and our readers just kept asking like, hey, where can I find this? Where can I find this? And I was like, okay. Like, let's try printing. So I did it myself, like self-publishing.
Wow.
Found a little printer, and printed like, you know, 1,000 copies, sold them on the website.
Okay.
Did that for a couple of issues. And then somehow an executive at Walmart came across it and connected with, their distributor. And said, you know, we came across this magazine, Love Inc., and we want to put it on our store shelves. And so the distributor emails me, and it's so out of the blue. Like,
yeah,
Angela, I kid you not, I deleted the email because I thought it was
spam. No.
And thank God he emails or he messages me on LinkedIn. I was like, oh shit, like this is real.
Like it
this
was is real.
This is real. Like, this is everything. Like, I couldn't believe it. And so I had a conversation with him, learned a lot, learned about kind of the process.
Yeah.
And so, we signed on with them, and they were then able to, you know, pitch us to every other retailer. So we got in, you know, like Walgreens, CVS, Kroger, Target, Barnes and Noble. All these different grocery stores and convenience stores, and bookstores across the US and Canada. And so that was, that was huge for us.
That's amazing.
So exciting. And now it's just, you know, kind of Now we got to like rise to the occasion. And
yes. How many issues are you printing a month?
No, we're only doing one a year at this point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just once.
It was one like, that is a lot when you're on your own.
Yeah. So once a year, I'm hoping, the goal is to be quarterly. Like once I get that team built out, the goal is to be quarterly, but yeah, I mean, it's been interesting. I think why it works for us is that we are kind of that niche target.
Yeah.
And it is representative of our community that has been, you know, not mainstream for so long and ignored on mainstream publications. And so, so it works and it's needed and people want it. So we'll see, you know, we'll see how it plays out. Like, you know, it may be one of those things like we tried and we did it for a few years and it just didn't make sense financially, which I hope is not the case because I love print. I'm a print girl. Like,
yes, yes, me too. I feel you. I have to hold that in my hands.
but yeah, it's fun and I'm enjoying it as we're doing it now. Yeah.
That's great. And you have updated content digitally all the time.
Yes. Yeah. We update the blog several times a week. So you can always find fresh content on the blog.
Speaking of that, how can our listeners connect with you and Love Inc. online?
Yes, you can find us at loveincmag.com, at loveincmag across all social media platforms, and find us in retailers all across the US and Canada. Our next issue is set to hit newsstands in October.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Brittany.
Hey, thank you, Angela. This was such a fun conversation.
That's all for this episode of Media in Minutes, a podcast by Communications Redefined. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe to our show. We'd love to hear what you think. You can find more at communicationsredefined.com/podcast. I'm your host, Angela Toole. Talk to you next time.